building blocks. You guys are dismissed. All right, good morning, everyone. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, starting from verse 14 all the way to 26. 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 26. I know that many of our students are still, because school starts tomorrow, but I guess enjoying and finishing off their spring break today. And so hopefully by next week, we'll be full strength and marching towards Easter. I actually came back from Hong Kong yesterday, so like my body, it doesn't really know what time zone it's supposed to be in. And so hopefully this will be okay today. We'll see how it goes. But I just wanted to thank you guys for praying for my time in Hong Kong with the pastors there as well as some of their staff and ministry directors. I mean, it was a really good time of not only rebuilding those relationships, but talking really and praying about our future together. And so I think there's a lot of things that eventually that I would love to share with us. But I think just during my time with the church in Hong Kong and really thinking about maybe the future that God has for us, one of the things that I think I was challenged and convicted by is really making sure that we are building a firm foundation so that we can continue to move on towards this vision that God has for us. Hopefully your Lent season, it's been coming along well. So just to reiterate, during Lent, we're focusing on the 1-1-1, right? Once a day, we want to be in the Word and prayer. Once a week, on Thursdays, we want to be fasting together and praying for that one person. So that last one is that one person that we want to be a faithful witness to as we invest our time, energy, and effort, build relationships with them, and so forth. And I really want to encourage us to think about, just even in that relational context, of inviting them out to Easter, which is coming up fairly soon. And I always say this, just because they come to Easter doesn't necessarily mean that somehow magically God's going to transform their lives. But it is an opportunity for them to hear the gospel. And not only that, but it's an opportunity for us, not just as individuals, but as the church family, to be a faithful witness to the people around us. And so I just really want to ask you to think about and pray about inviting that one person out during our Easter celebration so that they can really hear the gospel. We had a chance to share a little bit with everyone, just how our churches are doing and so forth, and a good time of just praying together. And as I was praying specifically for our Lent season, I was just reminded of Galatians 6:9, which says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And so I just really feel like God is wanting to encourage us with it, that as we turn to that last half of not only our Lent season, but just even for our students, I think y'all have like 2 months left, right? And even for the working folks, like we're looking forward to the summer and so forth. Let's not grow weary in doing good, but let's continue to persevere and persist in doing all that God has in store for us, because his promise for us is that if we do not give up, that we will reap a harvest that he has for us, okay? All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump back in. Hopefully you guys enjoyed my video last Sunday. But we're going to jump back in. 2 Timothy, starting from verse 14 all the way through 26. I don't really have much notes today. And so we'll just kind of spend some time talking through this passage. And hopefully at the end that we'll be able to spend some time praying together as a church as well. So let's go and read this together, starting from verse 14. It says this, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who named the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are only vessels of, are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name, call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Let's pray one more time. So, Father, we come before you, and Father, we submit our lives under the encouragement, the authority, God, of your word. Father, we pray that as we come, that you will challenge, you will encourage, you'll renew, and that you will continue to do that work of building us up, God. May we receive all that you have in store for us. And so help us, God, to listen with expectant hearts. And God, I pray that as we come before you, that you will be at work in doing the work of change and transformation, God, in all of our lives. I encourage us, God, and just give us that burden and that desire to say, God, that this morning that we want to make it all about you. So we thank you and we praise you, God, for this time together. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look into today's verse, really the one thing that I want to emphasize, and I think we see this in this passage, is this, that what we believe matters. Right? What we believe matters because what we believe ultimately shapes how we live out our lives. Right? What we believe shapes how we live out our lives. And so this passage, it really is Paul's personal encouragement to Timothy in his specific ministry, in his pastoral ministry. Because if you remember, the bigger theme of 2 Timothy is really Paul's encouragement to this young pastor to continue to stand firm in the gospel, to continue to contend for the gospel truth. And one of the things that he's experiencing, as well as Paul in his ministry, are these false teachers who are coming and leading the people of God astray. And so over and over again, in 1 Timothy as well as 2 Timothy, you see Paul encouraging Timothy to stand firm so that not only will he know what the truth of the gospel is, but then he can continue to share and preach that truth so that the people of God will not be led astray, but they will continue to walk on the path that God has for them. And this is really Paul's encouragement to this young pastor to continue to carry on that work. And so if we see, if we were to break up, I guess, this passage, we could break it up in a couple of ways. And so in verse 14, right away, Paul encourages Timothy. He says, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which has no good, but only ruins the hearer." And so remind them of these things. These things are the words that Paul has already encouraged Timothy with, right? And at the beginning of chapter 2 and so forth, encouraging Timothy to think about the work that God is calling him to participate in. And so he used some of these examples of thinking about what it means to be a soldier who doesn't get involved in civilian affairs, what it means to be an athlete who trains to win the prize, what it means to be a hardworking farmer. And so Paul encourages Timothy to continue to remind them of these things, and he says what? To charge them before God, not to quarrel about words, because that's exactly what's going on. These false teachers are coming in, and they want to pick a fight with Timothy. They want to quarrel about the words that he's using. They want to challenge Timothy and Paul, and they're trying to say to the people, "Well, I don't know if that's really the word that God has for you," right? And that's why, again, in verse 16, he says this, "But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people in more and more ungodliness. So in our context, it would be like, hey, Timothy, stay away from X, or formerly known as Twitter, right? Going back and forth. Or stay away from, I don't know if people blog anymore. Maybe they make YouTube videos, you know, like it's responding to what this person has says, and it's going back and forth and back and forth. And Paul says, ultimately, those things, it doesn't produce anything. And then the specific example that Paul gives is really in verse 17 through 18, right? Hymenaeus and Philetus, he says, and their talk will spread like gangrene. And that's why Paul says this is so important for you to stand on the truth of what the Word of God is and to continue to faithfully teach the truth, because once people go astray, it's going to spread like gangrene. You know, once gangrene spreads, it only leads to death. He says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They're upsetting the faith of some. So these two brothers are teaching that the resurrection has already happened. Not Jesus' resurrection, because everyone knows that Jesus rose again. A lot of scholars think that it's actually the resurrection of the believers, that it has already happened, which it hasn't. And that's why Paul gives Timothy this charge. And I think this is really the main point of this section. In verse 15, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And so this is really Paul's encouragement to Timothy. Timothy, continue to rightly handle the word of truth. Again, in verse 19, it says, by God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So Paul's reminding Timothy, even as you stand firm in rightly handling the word, basically Paul's saying, Timothy, don't fear these people who are spreading misinformation, right? Misgospel. These false truths. And the specific example that he uses is actually from Numbers 16:5. When Korah, he rebelled against God and challenged Moses' authority. And then Moses says, well, let's have a contest to see who belongs to God, because God knows who are his. And so on one hand, Paul is telling Timothy, you got to work hard. But on the other hand, he's saying, Timothy, ultimately trust in the work that God will do, because God knows those who belong to his. Right? That there's always going to be people whose hearts are going to be turned towards God, because God is going to be at work. So it's this wonderful reminder that even in the midst of opposition that comes against God's truth, that God will be faithful in continuing that work in the hearts of people. And then so Paul digs a little bit deeper into this encouragement, and he uses this example in verse 20 on. He says, now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. The word dishonorable use there means literally for ordinary use. And so he's saying, Timothy, think about in a household, right? There's the fine china that your mom only uses when guests come over. And then there's the glass that your mom gives you because you're thirsty, and even if you break it, it's not a big deal. And he says, strive to be the vessel that God will use for honorable use. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So once again, it's this encouragement. Timothy, stand fast in your work. Continue to be faithful in preaching the gospel. Continue to be faithful in standing firm on the truth of God. Verse 22, he goes on and says, so flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Paul says, this is your responsibility, Timothy. And so it's really just this one giant encouragement to Timothy to handle the Word of God faithfully, to handle the Word of God with fear, to handle the Word of God rightly so that the people of God will continue to walk in faithfulness. Which means, so that I think there's two things I was thinking about from this text. First of all, it means that those of us who have the responsibility to teach the Word of God, that we have to do so faithfully and rightly. That we have to always point people back to the gospel, right? Because when we started this series, we started with the premise that some of us are like the Pauls. That God has given us the responsibility, God has given us the opportunity to pour into the lives of those who are Timothys, to encourage them in their faith, to encourage them to stand fast, to stand firm in the gospel truth that God has spoken into their lives. And for those of us who have that responsibility, it means that we have to rightly point people back to the gospel. So that whenever they struggle in their faith, whenever they have questions about, do I do this, do I do that, what is it that God wants us to do? The reality is that we don't necessarily have answers to what God wants them to do, but what we have is the gospel. Then we need to point them back to the gospel, and we need to remind them, hey, this is the gospel that has been at work in saving you and redeeming you, but not only that, but this is the gospel that will continue to point you to the path that God has for you. And not only the Pauls, but then also we talked about how this book, it's also about the Timothys, right? These young men and women that God is wanting to raise up. And I think the challenge for us is, how are we handling the Word of God for our lives? Because when we think about the gospel, it's easy to think about it in the context of, okay, I know what the gospel is, right? Jesus came, he lived the life that I couldn't live, he died the death that I deserved to die, and he rose again to give me new life. So on one hand, we know what the gospel is, but on the other hand, it's really hard to live out that truth in our lives, right? I mean, that's the challenge. Because I think for many of us, the struggle isn't necessarily that we're wrestling with these heretical thoughts and teachings. Maybe some of us are. But when it comes to rightly handling the Word of God, I was thinking about it in this context. I think it's really about how do we handle these gospel truths in our lives? Because depending on how we rightly handle these gospel truths, Paul says, first of all, depending on how you live out the beliefs that you have, either you're going to be a worker that is approved of God or you're going to be a worker who is disapproved of God. Either you're going to be someone who is going to lead people into godliness, or you're going to be someone who is going to lead others astray so that they're actually going further and further away from godliness, and not only the people around you, but even yourself. And depending on what you believe and how you handle the truth, you're going to be someone who is going to be a vessel that God will use for noble purposes, right? For honorable use. And not only that, but lastly, let's look at verse 26. And so this is part of this encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy, that when people are saying, yapping all this, and they're thinking, well, Timothy, you're not qualified, blah, blah, blah. He says in verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil. And so, yes, we need to be persistent and consistent in teaching the right words. And for Paul, the right words are very clear because Paul says over and over again that this is the gospel that I received from Christ, and this is the gospel that I pass down to you. And so in verse 25, he says, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And so, yes, we correct these false teachings, these false thoughts with gentleness. And then he says this, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Right? Depending on how we handle the word of God. It leads you either to do the will of God, or it leads you either to do the will of the one that captures you, right? And that phrase, being captured by him to do his will being the devil's will, it's anything that is opposed to the gospel truths. And so once again, really it's God's encouragement for us to think about how are we applying these gospel truths in our lives. Not to say, okay, I know the gospel, but how is that truth impacting the way that we live out our lives? So if you're a student, how is that gospel truth impacting the way that you're living out your life as a student? Right? Is that gospel truth, the fact that God not only died for you, but he gave you this new life. Does that gospel truth pour into you the grace and the mercy of God? Right? Does it pour into you life? Is it pouring into you hope? Is it pouring into you this reality that regardless of what happens, that you already have the greatest treasure that you could possibly discover in your own life? And because of that, when God calls you to follow, and maybe that path that God has for you to follow, maybe it's not necessarily the path that you've imagined for yourself, but you're willing to surrender your life to follow Christ because you already have the greatest treasure. So that it's not about just you constantly give, give, give. And it's not about you being challenged to serve, 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 and pour out, pour out, pour out. But it's a reflection of the work that God is doing in your life. And how about for those of us who are working? That as we try to navigate through, you know, life becomes very complicated, right? There are no easy answers. But as we try to navigate through what it means to be a parent, what it means to be married, what it means to be single, what it means to really wrestle with some of these needs that we have in our lives, how is the gospel building you up in the midst of that process? Helping you to have a firm foundation and realizing that no matter what, God is for you and he loves you. And because he is for you and he loves you, that you don't have to live for yourself. That you can pour out for the sake of others. Because once again, it is God who is pouring into your life. And I was just thinking about this verse in the context of everything that we talked about during my time together in Hong Kong. With some of the, you know, with Pastor Seth and some of the leaders and so forth, and we were praying and thinking about what is that path forward that God has for us, for the family of churches. And not just trying to think about our own dreams, you know, not just trying to think about, okay, like what is it that we want to try to achieve, but, you know, what, how is God shaping and molding us so that we can ultimately exist not just for ourselves, but we can exist to fulfill the great commission of Jesus, to go and to make disciples of all nations. And I think for me, the biggest challenge in the midst of that discussion, I mean, if I'm completely honest, I think the biggest challenge was to think about, you know, these things, that's great, but I don't know if we can actually do them. Because I was thinking, if in order for that to happen, that means that this needs to happen. That means that, like, we need to raise up this type of people. That means that, like, we need to, like, pour out and invest. And I was just, like, my mind was thinking about, okay, God, like, we're here, and then you want us to be here. How do we get there? Right? How do we actually get to that place where we can encourage people to live not for themselves, but to live for the bigger purposes that God has for them? And I just remember God telling me over and over again, Ben, there's nothing that you can do to move people from here to here. Because even for me to try to move myself from here to here, I mean, it's really tough. But it has to be the work that God does. But our responsibility, my responsibility, is to make sure that we're building a firm foundation on the gospel of Christ. Firm foundation on the gospel of Christ. And it's the gospel that works in our lives. And it's the gospel that moves us towards this greater vision that God has. And for Timothy, it's this greater vision of continuing to carry on the work that that God started in Paul. And that is being passed down to Timothy. Of not just trying to stay afloat in the midst of all the struggles that they're experiencing in their church in the city of Ephesus. Right? All these people doubting him because of his youth. You know, all these controversies that are coming up, all these false teachings that he's battling with. Right? This vision of the gospel spreading beyond their troubles. Right? Vision of the gospel spreading beyond their own abilities. And it's Paul reminding Timothy, you need to continue to establish a gospel foundation in your life and in the lives of the people that you are preaching and teaching to. So that it's the gospel that is continuing to be at work and changing their hearts and their minds. So that it's the gospel that is leading them deeper and deeper into godliness. It's the gospel that is birthing in them a greater desire to say, God, I want to live for your will and your purpose. I want us to really think about rightly handling the Word of God. Are you rightly handling the Word of God where you are? And do you see the fruits of us rightly handling the Word of God, that it's leading us towards godliness, that it's giving us a greater burden and passion and desire to actually engage in the will of God for our lives? So that's really the one thing. What we believe, it matters. Because it's going to impact the way that we live our lives. So let me ask us, what do you believe? Right? What do you believe? And I think you can really understand what you believe as you try to examine your time, your treasures, your talents. Some of us, as you think about your future, and how you steward over that. What do you truly believe? Beyond just, yes, Jesus died for my sins. and he rescued me from death, which is great. But how does the gospel impact the way that you are living your life now? With some of the fears that you have, some of the worries that you have. How does the gospel build you up and challenge you? Do you truly believe that God is good? That he is for you? And that he'll be at work in you to encourage and to build others up? Let's stand together. Sorry, it's not my usual, like, 3 points, and I realized maybe it was a little bit, hopefully it wasn't too confusing. But I want to invite us, before we close out, to think about, okay, how is the gospel at work in us? Right? Think about your hopes. Think about your struggles. Think about your worries. In the midst of these circumstances, think about maybe some decisions that you need to make for your lives. Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I go here? Do I do that? Do I go there? How is the gospel at work in informing who you are, informing you of who God is and what he is inviting you to? How is the gospel at work in reminding you of who your source of joy is, who your source of strength, where that lies? Encouraged, let's turn to God. And let's ask him again. God, help me to stand firm on this gospel truth that not only did Christ come to die for my sins and to redeem me, but that work continues on in my life even now. So that Christ is at work in conforming my heart, my desires. So that I am reminded that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that lives in me. So that now the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith and in trusting in the work of Christ. I live by faith and trusting in the provisions of Christ for me. I live by faith in this reality that my life, it doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to God, and God's going to do whatever he desires. But it is also God who pours into our lives this wonderful assurance and this reminder that God is good and that he is trustworthy of it all. So before we close out our time together, can I just invite us to spend some time in prayer? And I don't know where you are with maybe specific things that you might be struggling with, have questions on. But let's ask God, God, help me Help me to rightly handle your truth, the gospel of Christ, in my life, in my circumstance. That I will be used of you, God, for honorable purposes. That I will grow in godliness, and I will continue to be used of you to accomplish your will in me. So can I just invite us to pray for that? And then after a little bit, I'll close for us. And then I'll ask our band to lead us in time of closing worship. But let's pray through that together. Okay, let's pray for that together, church.